I'm in no hurry. However, you know that already. You knew that when you saw me getting up here, those that know me. And some of them say, oh, me. But I don't get in a too big hurry, do I? Well, okay, maybe I do sometimes. But you know, I got something here before I even start. I just want to read to you so people know that it is actually here. Somebody said something the other day to me that kind of touched my heart. I want you to know that pastor's business is pastor's business. Pastor does all the teaching here. That's pastoral teaching. I want you to know that. And it'll always be that way as far as I'm concerned. It always will. I will never get into pastor's business. And if you catch me doing that, take me aside, say something to me, because I don't want to do that. But I would have you know that somebody said something to me the other day. Man, that bass sure was loud. I don't play a bass. In fact, I don't play a guitar all that well, truth be known. That's why I keep mine turned down. But let me read a scripture to you. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Now listen to this. Play skillfully with a loud noise. So he played loud. Did he play skillfully? All right. I keep mine turned down for a reason. But if they play skillfully, don't say anything about it. Praise the Lord. Okay, I don't know why. I just felt like that was something that needed to be said here. That's the scripture in Psalm. That Psalm, if you want to read it for yourself, that Psalm's 33, 1 through 3. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Now, if they can't play skillfully, they might want to turn it down a little. You know, that's why I keep mine turned down. But if you will, turn with me to Jeremiah, now that I've got everybody upset at me. And turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 41. And we're going to read a couple of scriptures here and then move on. And chapter 41 and verse 7, or say amen when you get there. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah chapter 41, verse 7. And it was so when they came into the midst of the city that Ishmael, thank you, brother, the son of Nethaniah, slew them and cast them in the midst of the pit, he and the men that were with him. But 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, slay us not, for we have treasures in the field of wheat and of barley and of oil and of honey. So he forbear and slew them not among their brethren. Let's have a seat. Slay us not, for we have treasures in the field. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. Now, see, you know, when you got some treasures, you can trade it for some things. When you've got some treasures, you might want to trade it for the things you need. And these guys wanted to trade their treasures for their life. Now, this Ishmael, he's not the son of Abraham. This was Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah. He slew a whole bunch of people. He killed a bunch of folks. Now, these were people that were Jews that had been left behind by King Nebuchadnezzar's captain. Been left behind to toil in the fields and do things. But this Ishmael, he wanted to take over. He wanted to make sure that the Jews were in charge. So as soon as the danger was gone, was out of the land, He took it upon himself to slay all these people that are left behind so he could take over. And then there it says, and there were some people that came along after that, and he said, you know, I got to get rid of these guys too. He'd already dug a pit and filled it full. Do you know that this is a pit that, people didn't come up out of. Once you were in that pit, you were in there forevermore because, you know, he killed you. And these people, 10 men came, or there was a group of people that came. Doesn't say how many there was, but 10 of them said, hey, don't slay us. We've got some treasures in the field. They wanted to trade their treasures for their life. And what good is treasure? What good is a treasure if you can't use it? If you're dead and nobody knows about your treasure, it's not good to you or anybody else. I mean, even the one that killed you can't use it. So tell them something. Say, hey, look here. You might stand a chance. You might come out of this with a whole skin. No treasure, but with a whole skin. You know, even Esau. That's how he felt about his birthright. That birthright didn't mean anything to him if he was dead. He said, man, I'm going to starve to death. Yeah, I'll give you my birthright for something to eat. Feed me, brother. I'm hungry. I'm going to starve to death. Well, I don't think he was that far gone, as far gone as he thought he was, because he sure got mad about it later. I mean, he's the one who made the deal. Why'd he get all upset about it? Oh, man, he got so mad. Do you know he went and married some girl his mama didn't like? That's how mad he got. I'll teach you. I'll go marry somebody. Said she was a bane to her mother-in-law. Man, that girl was bad. She must have been bad. I guess he was just mad. He was going to. Can you imagine going to marry some girl just because you're mad at your brother? You're going to marry some girl that your mama don't like? Well, let me tell you something. If she don't like him much, you probably won't either. Facts are facts. Everybody looking for a mama. That's the way it is. I don't care who you are. We don't ever grow up. we don't ever grow up. Man, if mama don't like her, you're not going to like her for long. That's the truth of the matter. Now, a treasure of this nature left in the field to rot, it just served no purpose to anyone at all. Now, that's the kind of treasure we want to be sure about. I mean, we want to be able to share that and say, hey, look, you know, I may not have much, but I got this treasure in the field. I'll trade it for my life. Don't kill me. And he didn't. But, you know, they might. He needed them to go show him where the treasures were, where they were buried in this field or whatever. But he may have afterwards went ahead and slew them anyway. That's how folks do nowadays, isn't it? When they get what they want out of you, they're done using you, they throw you away. Do they do that to you? Have you had that happen? Oh, no, you're still sitting here. You're not dead. But you've had people use you. I know you have. And they get done with you. And I'm talking about the good folks now. That's the good folks that do that. They get done with you. They want no more to do with you. And that's what hurts you more than anything. Now listen to this. Matthew 13 and 44. We're talking about a treasure that's hidden. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, now he found it, he's in the field, and a man found it, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Let me tell you something, he'd be kind of sneaky in himself. Now think about that. Here's a man, I don't know if he's out there plowing in the field, walking across the field. I don't know what. He may think, oh, somebody knows about this. It's laying in open. It belongs to somebody. May have a rock marking this spot. I know this belongs to somebody. I'm going to take it and hide it somewhere. But whoever else has seen it is not going to see it no more. And so he grabs the treasure and he goes and hides it someplace. And then he goes home because he's happy now. Ooh, look at all this. And sells everything he's got. Man, he had him a Martin guitar and sold that. He had this and he sold that. Had the other and he sold that too. He sold everything that he had so he could buy that field. Because he wanted that field. Because once he bought that field, anything in that field was his, you see. Now, he may have said, recognize that treasure. He may have said, well, I know the farmer John, he was coming through here last week. And I know he had just got paid for a whole herd of cattle and two fields full of barley. I know he got paid in cash, and it looks like his bag. It says Farmer John on it. That's why I think it's Farmer John's bag. And there's Farmer John's bag. He lost his money. I heard he had lost his money. He ain't said nothing to nobody. He's going to go hide that money, sell everything, got by that field. He's so happy. And when you were a little boy, now, fellas, I'm going to tell you, some of the younger fellas are gone already. They may never read Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, or none of that. I did. Treasure Island, oh, yeah. Peter Pan, I hunted treasure, man, for as long as I can remember. I hunted treasure for a long, long time. Do you know, I get up early in the morning, 11 years old, 10 years old, 9 years old, I'd be gone till dark. Me and my buddies, boy, we'd find someplace. We'd be in the woods hunting treasure. We knew there was pirate treasure somewhere. We'd go out in the field, get chased by the cows. Well, they're bulls. We got chased by some pigs a couple times. I preferred the bulls. The pigs eat you, and the bulls just run you over. But we could get up in the tree, and the bulls would go away. They couldn't see us no more. Them pigs stayed around. They knew we were there. They were waiting for us to come down. We had to stay up there a long time. I'll never forget that. Mean old pigs they were. But you know, I used to hunt treasure all the time when I was young. Never found any, but oh, I always hunted it. I wanted to be Huck Finn. I wanted to be Tom Sawyer. I wanted to go down the river. Well, we had a creek. Couldn't float a boat in it. We could find some snakes. Couldn't do much fishing in it, but boy, could we find some snakes. And some of them were pretty mean because they come after you. But we never found treasure in that creek. We never found treasure in the fields. We never found treasure in the woods when we went hunting. Now, to find treasure, you got to look for it. You got to be out there looking for it. And finding hidden treasure, just like it did for this guy, brings great joy. And that's what a boy looks for. A found treasure brings a desire to possess it. And that's what this man did. He found a treasure in the field, went and sold everything he had, bought the field so he could own that treasure. Now we're going to find out what treasure really is. Let's find out what treasure really is. I'm turn to John chapter 4 with me, if you will. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you what. That's something I thought about this. And my goodness. John chapter 4. Verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth, talking about this harvest, he that reapeth, receiveth wages. Now there's your treasure. He receiveth wages. And gathereth fruit. Now listen to this. Unto life eternal. Imagine that. Gather fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. That's treasure. The treasure is in the field. There's treasure out there in the field. Real treasure. I'm talking, we can look all day for treasure. I know people that go looking for stuff that just ain't there, and they spend their entire lifetime looking for something. You've heard about the prospectors from out in Arizona or out in parts of the Sierra Nevadas and up in Alaska even. I know some of them fellas. I knew a lot of them. And they searched and searched and searched for gold, spent their lives looking for treasure. Some found a little, some found a lot, some found nothing. The real treasure is in the harvest. The real treasure is in the fields are ready now. Jesus, remember when Jesus walked by the fig tree and he was hungry? He was walking by, he was hungry, don't you know? He said, now, and the scripture tells us Jesus was walking up there and he was hungry. He walked up to the fig tree, and all he saw was leaves, for the time was not yet for the figs. Now, Jesus knew exactly when the figs were going to come. Now, he's hungry, and there were no figs on that tree, and he killed the tree. But he had it one time for the figs, but he wanted a fig right now. Boy, have you ever wanted something right now and you couldn't have it? Ooh, Lord, when's the last time you had some Bluebell ice cream? Son, it's been a while, hasn't it? It's coming. It's coming real soon. Unfortunately, it's just taking too long. It's just taking way too long, but it's coming back. They expect to have it here on the shelves by August, sometime in August. But let me tell you, now that's something to look forward to. But you can't go to the store right now and buy you some Bluebell ice cream. Time is not now. They shut the plant down. They ain't making that. They ain't going to make none for a couple months now. Boy, the time's coming. And soon will be. There'll be Bluebell ice cream over here at Walmart. And you can go there and get all you want. And I don't doubt that the price will go up, but that's all right. They'll sell everything they put on the shelf because this is Texas. And, man, you can't live in Texas and not eat Bluebell ice cream. You just have to do that. That's part of being in Texas. Amen. Well, there you go. That's the truth. Fields are ready now. He said, you'll say 4 months and then it'll be the harvest. But he said, I say to you, the field is white and ready to harvest now. Now, what are we talking about here? Jesus, what's Jesus talking about? He's talking about harvesting souls. That's what he's talking about. There's the real treasure, harvesting souls. He said, your wages. Man, you could go work in the gold mine for wages and make it plenty of money. Or you can search for gold for the next 20 years and make a week's wages. That's just the way it is. They found another gold deposit. They claimed they did. This was back 2008. Donlin Creek, Alaska. Another gold deposit. An undiscovered gold deposit. Thank goodness. What corporation was that? You know, the corporation you're in. Chilista Corporation. They're the ones that, it's on their land. It's on the Chilista land. I have yet to see one person benefit from that. All this gold that they bragged about that they found, all the studies they had to do, and it took them so many years to do all the studies, environmental studies, and that they're going to pull all this gold out of the ground and give it to all of the natives. They ain't giving nothing to the nation but a hard time. I ain't seen none of it. Her checks stay the same every year. And I won't even tell you what it is because it ain't worth having. We can go eat. But man, that Chilista Corporation got a whole bunch of gold out of Donlin Creek deposit. But if you go there and work for the Chilista Corporation, you'll make a paycheck. That's all the gold you're going to get. That's the treasure you'll get. Or if you go search in Donlin Creek and get away with it, as long as they don't shoot you for being on their claim, you may go a long, long time. Because, see, they have to use certain types of machines to go deep into the ground. They use certain types of machines that they can reach down in there and rip the guts right out of a mountain and even go deeper than that. And they find this gold. They'll find the vein. And I don't know, man, what it costs to get that out. But if the price of gold wasn't so high right now, they wouldn't waste their time with it. That's the truth of it. They wouldn't waste their time because it's just not enough there. But that's not what we're going to get. Our treasure. We're going to get our treasure from souls. Did you really pay attention to what it said? Let's go back to that scripture again. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Come on now. Gather fruit unto life. That's a treasure. Unto life eternal. Come on. That's real treasure. Ooh. Man. Oh. Jesus went by Matthew. Oh, no, he didn't. I take that back. He told Matthew something different. He went by Peter, James, and John. And he told them, he said, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So you come follow me. He said, put them nets down and come follow me. And said, and they forsook all and went and followed Jesus. Now, I know the dad's standing there scratching their heads. Hey, there goes my help. He's going to have to hire help. Now he's going to have to pay out some real money to hire some help. But these fellas done took off to follow Jesus. But they're going to become fishers of men. And they're going to harvest souls. And that's what really counts in this life and the life to come. But I'm not sure I'm ready. I can't go win souls. I'm really not that type of person. I'm not a soul winner. I'm really not ready to go talk to people. I'm not really ready to go gather the fruit. Yeah, you are. Oh, yeah. Acts 4 and 12 said, I got the wrong scripture. I don't want Acts 4 and 12. I want Acts 1 and 8, I think. That's what I want. I want to make sure I get it right. But ye shall receive power, Acts 1 and 8. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The uttermost part of the earth. You're going to be witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost, yeah, you're ready. Well, I just don't have the training. You don't need it. Jesus sent the disciples out. Yeah, they've been around him. They've been listening to him teach for a while. He sent the disciples out. He said, not everybody's going to hear you. And I want you to take just so much money, only take one coat. He said, and if they don't accept it, when you come out of that city, shake the dust off your feet and go on. So not everybody's going to listen to you. But you've got a job to do. I'm giving you a job to do. I want you to go and witness to these people. I want you to go and cast out demons in my name. I want you to go and heal people in my name. I want you to go and win souls for me. And that's what they were doing. They were going all over the place. Because the fields are ready now. I may not be ready, but the fields are ready, and the fields are ready, then I'm ready. Because I've got the Holy Ghost. If I've got the Holy Ghost, I'm ready. I will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon me. I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost came upon me. I've got the power to go be a witness to Jesus. Now, understand, when that prophecy was given, when Jesus told them that, you know what it took to be a witness? You had to be willing to face the lions. You had to be willing to watch your family be taken from you and stoned to death for being a witness. Now, if that's the kind of power they receive, what have we got? Come on, man. Ain't nobody trying to kill us yet. It may come, but it's not happening yet. Oh, they'll make fun of us. I get that all the time. Boy, you're nothing. Man, you're about halfway crazy talking that stuff. Well, you know, you can believe that if you want to, but I don't believe in a God. Well, why are you so hard against it? Why you want to argue about it so much if you don't believe in God? If you don't believe in God, smile and go your way. Don't make an issue of it. You don't have to believe if you don't want to. There's lots of people that don't believe. And you know, most of those people say, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I never met him. I tell you what, when I was on the airplane, a C-130, 131 is actually what it was, C-131, we're flying to Prudhoe Bay. Had a platoon on one side, a platoon on the other. 50 men to a platoon, and all our gear. When one of them engines quit, you could hear the engine quit. Now, you got to understand, we were all in there throwing cards down on the deck. We're playing cards, you know. Some of us playing spades, some of us playing hearts, some of us playing poker. We're just having a good time talking trash to one another. They're telling stories that ain't true and lying and using foul language. And you know, when that, there was not an atheist on that airplane when that engine quit. I heard people pray that I didn't know they knew the name of Jesus. It's true. When that engine quit, ooh, Lord, and you way up in there on that C-131, and there ain't nowhere to go but down. Ain't nothing down there but polar bear and ice and cold. You know you ain't going to live through it. Ooh, man, you get to knowing Jesus, there ain't an atheist nowhere within miles. Everybody knows God, and they're all calling on him. Everybody in that plane called on God. You know, that plane come down, hit the runway, we all act stupid again. We got out of, woo, that was fun, wasn't it? No, it wasn't fun. It was scary is what it was. But you know what? I went and picked up the body parts on one of them that didn't make it. Well, I drove the truck. Took the crew out there to pick them up, put them in the bags. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing pretty about it when one goes down in the Arctic. I suppose it'd be the same going down anywhere else, but when one goes down in the Arctic, it's ugly. Just plain ugly. You try to get there before the animals do. You try your best to get there, even though you know you're not going to find any survivors. You still want to get there before the animals do, and that's what we tried to do every time. But they ain't going to listen to me. That's right. Plant the seed anyway. They didn't listen to Jesus. They didn't want to hear anything Jesus had to say. Did you know that? There were people called Jesus all kinds of. They tried to kill him. Now, they may try to cause you to lose your job. If you talk to them at work. I lost a job that way one time, quite a few years ago. Me and another lady talking about the Lord. I was off duty. I had carried another man with me because he was taking over the company van at that point, and I was going on to do something else. And so we stopped. This one lady's house, she offered us lunch. And so, yeah, I'll eat lunch. And I said, would you like some lunch? Yeah, I'd like. Well, while after we prayed over our lunch, we began talking about the Lord. And the boy went back and complained so bad I got fired. Wasn't none of your business. We weren't talking to him. Of course, I didn't mind him hearing it. But I did. I got fired for that very thing. So, yeah, people try to get you fired. They don't want to hear it. They want to live their life. They don't want to be reminded that they're in sin. They don't want to know. They have determined that truth is a lie and a lie is truth. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. They've turned everything around. They do not know the difference between good and evil. They can't tell. Without Jesus, it's impossible to tell. But there's still treasure out there. Yeah. If the Lord prepares them and tells us to go out in the field and plant a seed and take my word, somebody is going to take that seed in. And you may never see the result, but it's a good chance you will later on down the road. Somebody else is going to water it. Somebody else will cause it to grow. And somebody's going to pray them through to the Holy Ghost. Somebody will. You say, well, I can't do that. I'm not that type of person. I'm not outgoing. You never met anybody more bashful than Jim Fry. Now, don't laugh. It's true. It's really true. Man, I listened to this guy talk to this girl one time. We was at a train station in Trenton, New Jersey. I thought, my Lord, if I could talk to somebody that way, man, he put the... that girl never knew him before, had never seen him before, and he left with her. How in the world he met? I said, I want to know that trick. I never did learn it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I never did learn that trick. But I want to tell you what. There are some smooth talkers out there, and I'm not one of them. I never was one of them. I was so bashful, I'd nearly cry if I had to talk to you. If a man talked to me, one time my boss talked to me in a rough voice, and I was so mad at myself because I couldn't stop the tears. 17 years old, crying like a baby. And I couldn't stop him. I tried. I didn't want him to see that. I'm tough. I wasn't tough. I was soft. I was so bashful. Man. Ooh, Lord, I tell you what. I didn't know how to talk to people. But the Holy Ghost, you get a Holy Ghost boldness. You get into the Lord, and you get that Holy Ghost. The Lord will give you that Holy Ghost boldness. And he may send you with somebody. I'll go out with you. If you ever want to go witnessing, you ain't got nobody to go witnessing with, you want to learn how, come and go witnessing with me. Ooh, man, you may not want to learn the way Jim Fry does it, but I want to tell you what, we'll go witnessing. And they may kick us out. They may kick us off their property. They may shut the door in our face. Or they may say, come on in, let's talk about this. Well, man, I love to talk with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I really do. I was asked not to come back to Kingdom Hall, North Pole, Alaska. I was single. That's right. They said, don't come back here. Don't come back here. They can change all they want to change. They could not change the truth, even using their own Bible. They change as much as they want. I use that to show them truth. Show them who Jesus was. Yeah! Show them who Jesus was. Say, oh, he was a good prophet. No, he wasn't. He's God. Yeah, I know who he is. Now, well, we don't believe that. We Jehovah's. I am too. I'm Jehovah's Witness. But I know who Jehovah is. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now. The guy that had invited me said, was sure wishing he hadn't. It embarrassed him so bad. That was the third time I've been there and my last. They said, please don't come back here. You're causing too much confusion. Because then people started looking in the Word. They started looking up scriptures. They did. They started looking up scriptures. It was another GI. This GI, and you know what he did? He said, can I go to church with you? Come on in. Yeah, we'd like to have you. Got a fine youth group. I was just a kid then. I was still in the military. Yeah, and then wasn't long, some guy come by and said, hey, I hear you go to church on Friday nights. I said, yeah, every Friday. Said, would you take my daughter? I pulled that once. Took a girl to church with me. My fiance left that night. She wouldn't come back. I wasn't sure I want to do that again. But I said, yeah, I'll do that. I take her. Well, thank goodness, find out she's only 14 years old. I wasn't in trouble. But you know, it's a harvest for us. That's the real harvest. That's where the treasure is. That's the field the treasure's at. That field. You see, God will prepare it. He knows when the harvest is white. He knows when it's ready. He knows when it's time to go reap the harvest. He knows when it's a good time to go plant the seed. He know, and you know what? He's not telling you the difference. He said, you just go. Don't even think about it. Just go. And that's what I do. And that's what we've got to do. Just go. Oh, I can't talk to him over here at work. I know a guy talked to everybody ever saw. Every time he went to a store, he witnessed them. Now, he didn't know the truth, but he still witnessed. I went in there one time. He was praying for some girl at the store out up there in Garrett, Texas. I'm like, brother, what you doing? I'm getting this girl saved. You got your Bible with you? We need to get you saved first. Oh, he got mad. He left in the middle of the night, him and his whole family. But I tell you what, I wasn't trying to be mean to him. I just wanted him to know some truth. And I started telling him the truth. He didn't want to hear none of that. No, I don't believe that way. I said, well, you better start. Open up your Bible, start reading it. You need to start. Well, I believe John 3:16. Well, that's good. Live it now. Don't just believe it, live it. Do you know that they're not all going to believe you? When Jesus said, Jonah went. Ooh, Jonah went. They didn't all believe Jonah. Jonah didn't even want to go. He said, I don't want to go because I can't talk very good to people. I'm kind of shy and bashful. You know, I just can't tell people. But I don't want to go witnessing. You know, one of the best places to go witnessing, or on what we used to call Soul Patrol, is a large city. It is. Athens is kind of a small city, but you can still do that here. And of course, I never see a line out here at Athens at the county jail on Saturday night, so I don't know how that works. But I do know when I used to go over there to do some visitation at county jail in Ellis County, there was a line before there was time to get inside and visit your relatives or your folks. And before you can get in the door, there's a line out the door all the way up the block, round the corner to the other part of the block. And I mean, you could go up and talk to anybody. And you could pray with anybody. Even the ones that didn't want you to pray with them, they couldn't stop you because they lose their place in line. You could do things, you could get away with stuff. But you know, God knows when the harvest is ready. He knows when it's ready, so he's going to send you. And he's not going to send you at the wrong time. He said, you say the harvest is going to be ready in 4 months. I say it's ready now. It's ready now. That's our job. That's what we're here to do. Our job is to... I done went all past that, didn't I? Where were we? Do you know where we were? It was in John 4, wasn't we? Thank you, Jesus. It's a good thing we got y'all here. I regret that. Yeah. They won't listen to me. And they didn't listen to Jesus. Said, now I'm going to tell you something. Paul, talking to the Romans, he said, man, how they going to? How they going to believe in who they haven't heard about? How they going to believe in? How can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear without a preacher? I'm going to go over there just for a second. We have time for that. Go over to Romans. I'm going to read that in Romans chapter 10. I think you did. Oh, yeah. I just want to do that, if you don't mind. I'll find that. Romans. Went right by it. What do you think of that? Romans chapter 10. Listen, I'm going to start at verse 13. Listen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you're going to call on the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. Now, this is from the Old Testament. Paul's quoting the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, he's quoting Joel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? He said, well, that gets me off the hook. I ain't a preacher. Yeah, you are. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You say, I'm not a preacher. Matthew 28:19. Somebody quote that to me. Into all. All the world. That's right. That's right. You know, I had a preacher, I won't tell you the denomination, but he and I are very close, we're friends, very good friends. And he was my mentor at one time, and I had this guy tell me, he said, I'd rather do it the way Matthew said to do it than the way Peter said. Because Jesus said it in Matthew. Matthew wrote down what Jesus said. So Jesus is right and Peter is wrong. Ooh, I said, is that right? So I'm going to tell you, brother, I'm sending into all the world to preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, I said, how many names are that? And he said, that's one. I said, that's right. He said, well, it's talking about the name of the Father. I guess the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost is the same as the name of the Father. They're all Jehovah. No, they're not. Call him Jesus. And he called him Jesus. Peter did not repeat the formula. He didn't. Jesus gave us the formula. Peter acted upon the formula. He performed the act of the formula. He said he baptized them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One name. One name. Well, let me tell you, I would like to go on and on and on. I got another 30 minutes, and I'm not going to do that to you. I'm just going to have to say that for something else, huh? Well, they didn't all listen to Jesus. And they can't hear without a preacher. And we are sent to evangelize the world, to reach all the lost, because the treasure is in the field. The treasure is in the field. You know, we can go out in the field and we can work for wages. We can go out in the field and we can gather the fruits of eternal life. Man, isn't that something? Oh, that's beautiful. Now listen, if I ever find this scripture again, I know it's here. I know it was, where was it? 1344, wasn't it? Now, that's the wrong one. Oh, I need to go back to John, don't I? John chapter 4, that's what it is. Y'all keep me straight, will you? Do my preaching for me. Help me preach here, would you? It's important that you help me preach. Woo! I'm telling you what, I can't preach without your help. Even though I'm sent. And I promise you I'm sent. I am sent. And we're all sent. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Here it is. Now look. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. He said, look here. Just go do it. He said, just go do it. He said, Lord said, trust me. The field is white. It's ready to harvest. He said, trust me. The treasure is in the field. And it's time to reap the harvest. He said, let's go do it. We're all sent. Not just some of us, all of us. Somebody told me, said, no, that was for the disciples. What disciple? Well, the 12. Okay. Had a lot more than 12 disciples. Amen. These were students. And we're supposed to make students out of the whole world. Disciples out of the whole world. And that's what we do. And we're all saying, not just some. God intends for us all to be part of the harvest. All of us need to be part of the harvest. Sowers and reapers, they're all part of the same harvest. Now, remember this. Once you win them, you can't take truth and beat somebody up with it. You're not going to win somebody by beating them over the head with truth. Just because you're in a certain place spiritually, just because you know certain things spiritually. Do you know if a child, you take a child and keep him in a closet, oh God, that's been done so many times. But if you take a child and keep him in a closet and open that door up every day and tell them there is no God and close the door. Keep them fed, take care of the hygiene, but every day for the first 3 years of life, tell them there is no God. And they will remember for the rest of their life that there is no God. And you won't convince them otherwise. You will never convince them otherwise. Only the Holy Ghost can change that. But the Holy Ghost sends us. We are sent. How are they going to hear? Unless we go tell them. We're all sent, not just some of us. And remember, we're expected to perform the act. When we teach people about salvation, we teach them all of it. Somebody told me, he said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he went to Calvary and died for my sins. And while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. So I believe that. Therefore, I'm saved. I got faith to be saved. But I've got works. I put feet on my prayers. I put some feet on my prayers. I walked over to the baptismal, just like he said to do. And I was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of my sin. I come up out of that water. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't receive the Holy Ghost right then. But it wasn't long after I received the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, it is a truth that you can't take away. People can deny it. They can say it's not so. But it's true. I do not go to people and tell them, hey, your grandma wasn't baptized in Jesus' name, she's going to die and go to hell. I don't tell people that. It's somebody that has died living their life for Jesus. What do I know? What do I really know? I know what's right for me. I know I have to preach what's in this word. I know I have to tell you about Jesus' name baptism. I know that. And I know that if I don't, I'm held accountable. But not just part of the truth, all of the truth. Now, people, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that anybody can do anything they want and go to heaven. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I have no nail scars in these hands, not one. Not a single nail scar. I can't say who's going to make it to heaven and who isn't. I can't tell you that. I know the formula. Then I act upon the formula. It's not the act of baptism that saves us. It's the act of obedience. You know, it doesn't save us. Obedience saves us. He said, obedience is much better than sacrifice. Oh, he'd much rather have obedience than he would sacrifice. You ever see your children? You ever see your children misbehave? Ooh, Wesley never seen his boy act up. Well, he hadn't if he's had his eyes closed the last, 8, 10 years? Whatever. That's a good boy. I don't care what you say. That boy's all boy. But you know, when he tells him something, it does him so much better. He feels so much better when the boy just goes and does it. Because he doesn't want to take a belt to him. One of the hardest things for me to do was to whip my children. And they'll tell you today, well, we'd rather daddy whipped us than mama. I thought I beat him. I thought I got the belt out and wailed on him. Hit him hard, you know. I mean, I'd rear way back here. I guess I slowed down somewhere on the way. Well, they'll tell you today that Man, when we were little, we liked it. Well, they didn't actually like it. But they preferred daddy over mama whooping. Mama, daddy'd hit him 2 or 3 times, and it hurt daddy so much he couldn't hit him again. Now, when boy 7 years old, he looks up square in the eye, I said, "Daddy, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I just can't be good." You tell me you can hit a boy after he says something like that. If you can, you ain't human. But he tried so hard to be good. But his mama didn't care. She said, "Wham, wham, wham, wham." Well, she didn't cut him no slack. She was mean to him. Mean old Eskimo, man. She beat on the kid. But I'm going to tell you why. Truth is truth, and we don't beat people with truth. We give it in love. The Lord will admonish them. The Lord will prepare their hearts for truth. You know, if somebody makes an argument about it. See, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You will not change a person's mind. You're not going to change their mind. Don't argue with them. Don't argue with people. Go out in the field. Collect the harvest. If you can't do nothing but plant the seed, then plant the seed and go your way and thank the Lord for giving you that opportunity. Somebody else is going to come and reap that harvest. It's going to happen. Trust the Lord. It will happen. That's what it's about. Praise God. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you bow your heads with me right now, I'd like you to just get your mind stayed upon Jesus. Just say, "Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to come before you in humility and in prayer. We're coming now boldly to the throne of grace, seeking help in a time of need. Oh, God, help us to see and to know you in spirit and in truth, just like you admonish us to know you. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us, oh God, to be a part of the harvest. Help us to know that we've got to go. We've got to go and be a part of this harvest. Oh God, we ask you to lead us and guide us as we go about our business each and every day here. That we can reach the lost souls of the city. Make us soul winners. Help us to see the treasure that's in the field and to reach out for it, to dig it up, to find it, and to offer it to you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen." You're dismissed.